Another million fish catch yesterday, hauled in this time by the Naknek Kwijak fleet. Nooshigak was just under a million, and yesterday's daily catch across all districts was over 2.6 million. Total run in the bay crested 19 million fish. It's Wednesday, July 8th. I'm your host, Sage Smiley.
Don't know why there's no sun up.
Coming up tonight, we talk to a greenie captain about his season so far and what it was like fishing during Naknek Kwijak's biggest day so far this season.
I think we ended up with around 15 yesterday, so that was good.
And was that 15?
15 fish, yes. No, 15 pounds.
In a normal July, Denali Hodgdon would be fishing in Bristol Bay. They're Supyuk and Degaton Athabascan and are from South Naknek. They are also the creator and host of the On the Land podcast. This evening, we hear about Hodgdon's roots in the fishery and why they chose not to fish this summer.
I had a cousin that ended up calling me up and saying, hey, I think you need to talk to my other cousin because we just don't know what to do with this whole coronavirus thing and the implications of what it means to possibly be facing another global pandemic in the Bay.
Unlike last year's hot, dry weather, this summer is shaping up to be just a little warmer than average. And we could get some action around Bristol Bay over the next several days.
As we go through the weekend and into early next week, the chances for storminess do increase.
We have someone in the office to take your pledges during the 6 p.m. show. Call us up at 907-842-5281. Stay tuned for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Almost 20 million fish have returned to Bristol Bay so far this year. Yesterday's daily catch was over 2.6 million, and the cumulative catch bay-wide is over 14.1 million. Cumulative escapement is 4.2 million, and there are an estimated 650,000 fish in the rivers across the bay. Average fish per drift delivery yesterday was also back up over 1,100 in all of the districts that fished besides Togiak, which had an average fish per drift delivery of 114. Let's get down to the numbers. Here on the west side, harvest dropped off just a tiny bit in the Nooshigak district at 940,000 fish yesterday, caught 3% by Igushik set netters, 25% by Nooshigak set netters, and 72% by the drift fleet. That brings the season total harvest in the Nooshigak so far to 4.4 million fish. Across the Nooshigak district, escapement was 239,000 fish for a total district escapement of 1.4 million. The Nooshigak's total run is now 5.7 million sockeye. Looking at the escapement by river in the Nooshigak district, the Nooshigak River sonar counter counted 110,317 sockeye yesterday, a huge jump from the previous day's 8,000. This makes the escapement in the Nooshigak River 584,000 fish. The Nooshigak sonar also counted 3,200 kings yesterday, making the Nooshigak's king escapement 38,000 so far this season. An escapement of 16,800 chum salmon rounds out chum escapement in the Nooshigak at 78,000. The Wood River Counting Tower crew counted 57,000 fish past the tower as of 6 a.m. this morning, making the Wood River escapement 790,000 sockeye. In the Igushik River, tower crews recorded 450 fish as of 6 a.m. this morning, making escapement in the Igushik 48,000. Togiak saw a daily harvest of 11,000 fish yesterday, over a third of the season total harvest of 27,000 fish. The tower crew in the Togiak River counted 400 fish before 6 this morning, making total season escapement in the Togiak district 3,400. The total run in the Togiak is now 30,000 sockeye. The Naknek Kwijak district became the second district to have a million fish harvest day this season at 1,075,000 fish. That catch came 7% from Kwijak set netters, 16% from Naknek set netters, and 77% from Naknek drifters. The Naknek Kwijak district has the highest season total harvest so far, 4.78 million. Escapement in the Naknek Kwijak district was also high yesterday, 517,000 fish, pushing the season escapement across the district to over 2 million. The Naknek-Quijac also has the highest total run so far at 7.1 million fish. Breaking down yesterday's escapement in the Naknek-Quijac district by river, in the Alagnak River, 85,000 sockeye escaped yesterday, bringing the Alagnak escapement to 246,000 fish. In the Quijac River, a 170,000 daily fish escapement yesterday rounds out the total escapement in the Quijac to 384,000 fish. The Quijac also has a 300,000 fish in river estimate. The Naknek River remains the only river in the bay with an escapement of over 1 million fish. It's at 1.4 million after yesterday's daily escapement of 262,000 fish. Fishermen in the Igigut caught 658,000 fish yesterday, attributed 86% to the drifters and 14% to the set netters. Season's total harvest so far in Igigik is 4.76 million, the second largest harvest in the bay. Escapement in the Igigik district was 105,000 fish yesterday, bringing the total escapement in the Igigik River so far to 755,000 fish. With an in-river estimate of 300,000, the total Igigik run so far is 5.8 million, the second largest run in the bay. No daily catch in the Ugashik district yesterday. The total catch in Ugashik is still 212,000 fish. 7,300 fish escaped in Ugashik yesterday. The total escapement so far in that district is 44,600. Adding the 50,000 fish in river estimate, the total run in the Ugashik district is 307,000. Where in the world is Carmen San Diego? I mean, where in the bay are the boats fishing? There are 1,690 permits fishing on 1,313 boats. That's 936 single permit vessels and 377 D boats. At 9 a.m. on July 10th, there will be 1,325 boats fishing the bay, 380 of which will be D boats. Now, by district. Igigik has the highest number of vessel registrations, 33% of the fleet, or 431 boats, 139 of which are D boats. Those numbers won't change in the next 48 hours. The Naknek-Quijac district is the second largest portion of the fleet, 422 boats are fishing there, 126 of which are D boats. That's a solid 32% of the bay's fleet. In 48 hours, that will increase to 428 boats, 129 of which will be D boats. The Nushagak district is being fished by 29% of the fleet, 382 boats, 102 of which are D boats. At 9 a.m. on Friday, that will increase to 385 boats, still with 102 D boats. Ugashik has now overtaken the Togiak district in vessel registrations. 3% of the boats of the bay are fishing in Ugashik. That's 40 boats, 10 of which are D boats. In 48 hours, there will be 43 boats fishing in Ugashik, still with 10 D boats. And you guessed it, there are still 38 boats fishing in Togiak. That's 3% of the fleet, and that will not change in the next 48 hours. 13,757 sockeye passed the Chignik Weir yesterday. Adding that to the 1,284 sockeye that passed as of 9 a.m. this morning, the total sockeye run in the Chignik is 116,656. That's 103,684 in the early run and 12,972 in the late run. 48 Chinook salmon also passed the weir yesterday and 6 this morning, bringing the king salmon run in the Chignik weir to 248. And 96 pinks passed the weir yesterday. Added to the 12 pinks that passed this morning, the pink run in the Chignik's is 216. Some of the harvest information from Area M yesterday is confidential, but we do have harvest information from some sections of Area M. Across Area M, public harvest yesterday was 20,300 sockeye, for a season total harvest in Area M of 557,000 sockeye. Area M fleet also harvested 14,000 pinks, bringing total pink harvest to 1.7 million. A harvest of 6,200 chum brought the chum harvest to 486,000 chums in Area M. The fleet also harvested just over 1,000 coho and 500 kings yesterday. The next openers in Area M will begin at 6 a.m. Friday morning. Fishing conditions were not ideal at the Port Moeller test fishery yesterday. The Americanus attempted to reach Station 2 but had to turn back. The Ocean Cat was able to battle through the 7 to 9 foot seas to do a few sets. Scott Rayborn said in an email that the high catches and escapements of the past few days in the bay correlate approximately to June 26th through 28th, when the test fishery was unable to fish. The good fishing at the test fishery between June 30th and July 5th indicate that there are many more fish left to come. Rayborn added that fishing at Port Muller indicates the run is at least 3 days late and probably more, ruling out the possibility of an early or on-time run of 35 million fish or less. Runs of close to 40 million fish have never been more than 2 days late. Muller says, based on the test fishery, the most likely scenario is that the run will be greater than 50 million fish and over 5 days late. Here are yesterday's catch indices from Port Muller. Station 8 had an index of 45, 4 in the 4.5, and 11 in the 5 and an eighth. Station 10 had an index of 113, 25 in the 4.5, and 20 in the 5 and an eighth. Station 12 had an index of 66, 2 in the 4.5, and 21 in the 5 and an eighth. Station 16 had an index of 3, 1 in the 5 and an eighth inch mesh. Station 18 had an index of 169, 32 in the 4.5, and 27 in the 5 and an eighth. And Station 20 had an index of 23, 6 in the 4.5 inch mesh. We've also got the 7th stock composition estimate from Port Muller, interpreted from 1,061 catch index data points from the July 5th test fishery catch at Stations 2 through 20. 1.4% of the fish were headed to the Kuskokwim River, 1.2% were headed to the Togiak River, 7.1% were headed to the Agushik River, 7.3% were headed to the Wood River, 2.8% were headed to the Nushagak, 26.9% were headed to the Kwijak, 1.4% were headed to the Alagnak, 15% were headed to the Naknek, 25.8% were headed to the Igigik River, 8.1% were headed to the Ugashik, and 2.8% were on their way to the North Peninsula. If you appreciated that 10 straight plus minutes of numbers, call in to support KDLG, 907-842-5281. We'll be right back with more of your favorite radio show, the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Support for KDLG and the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from Hatton Marine in Ballard, Washington, supporting and servicing the Bristol Bay fishery for the last 20 years. Parts and service requests online at hattonmarine.com or 888-283-5639.
Gone fishing. Babu, 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 babu. There's a sign up on your door.
Yesterday marked the second day in a row of an east side district with a daily harvest of over 1 million fish. Naknek Kwijak Management biologist Travis Ellison shared his thoughts about his district's big catch.
You know, harvests have been really large the last 3 days, and looks like that's going to continue, probably at least through the weekend, about as far as we can see, based on Port Muller. So it's looking like a good, strong run. The catch is going along great, and Naknek escapement is pretty high for this time of year. We're just past the midpoint of the escapement goal there.
On the other side of the Naknek Kwijak District, the Kwijak River is only just starting to pick up. The Kwijak side of the district has had some movement over the last 2 days, and Ellison expects to see more escapement around the 11th, and hopes to meet escapement goals there soon. As for predicting what comes after that...
You know, we can only project as far as we can see from the information we're getting from Port Muller, really, and use a little historical run timing stuff, too, but... You know, I expect it to be strong probably through next week. At a minimum, it should be good from now through the weekend. And then just based on historical, I think next week will probably be some good fishing in the Naknek Kwijak District.
We're going to stick around in the Naknek Kwijak District for a moment this evening. The fleet hauled in the bay's second day of a million fish harvest in a row. KDLG's Izzy Ross caught up with Nels Yuri. It's his first year captaining a boat, and he says today was big and fast.
It was a pretty good day for me. You know, I loaded the boat, and this is my first year actually running a vessel, so it was pretty exciting, to say the least. We had a really good day over here.
Do you have an estimate of how many fish you ended up catching or how many pounds or anything like that?
I think we ended up with around 15 yesterday, so that was good.
And was that 15?
15 fish, yes. No, 15,000 pounds.
And was it super busy or anything like that?
Oh, man, it was happening over here. You know, trying to get a good grasp on the boat when there are so many other things going on, like people making sets around you and trying to figure it out. It was pretty hot and heavy and pretty wild. there were a lot of fish around and a lot of boats around too, which makes picking the net and hauling it a little bit more stressful when there's a little bit of wind pushing you around onto everyone. So, but it was exciting.
How's the season going in general?
You know, it's been good. It's been good. I started out over in the Noosh and made the call early to come over here to Naknek, and I've been here since, and I've been enjoying it. Again, it's my first year running a vessel, so that's come with a couple of challenges here and there and trying to figure out what's going on. I've been up in the bay for a while, but, you know, going from the back deck to the fly bridge is a different story. I feel like I'm green all over again and relearning things, but it's been a lot of fun. It's been a learning curve, but, you know, catching the fish is always the most rewarding part.
No, I can imagine. I mean, it's like with any organization, right? It's like way different when someone's telling you what to do and then when you're making the decisions. Do you have any specific memories that you'd want to share from your learning experiences or anything else?
When you're round hauling at net, it's really important to take your boat out of gear, because sometimes leads and corks make it so your boat doesn't go forward or backwards. And so I had a couple of toes in the last week, to say the least. But I definitely learned that one the hard way. I learned some experience, because I had to round haul the other day and it didn't happen. So things are on the up and up, but it's a learning curve every single day. And it's rolling with the punches, really, and trying to figure out where the fish are.
Yuri is also on the board of directors for the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, which just kicked off its annual photo contest. Yuri says this year they decided to revamp the contest.
So our organization could get more usable photos for our website, our social media, and our marketing campaigns that kind of cross our domestic market in the U.S. This year we made it a lot more easy to access, first off. Just right when you go to the homepage of bbrsca.com, there's a photo contest tab. And then within that, it lets you put your name, your information on there, and submit your photos into five different categories.
What are the qualifications for participating?
So our requirements for participating is that you just need to be involved with salmon in Bristol Bay in some way. So whether you are set netting or you're drifting, or even if you're just doing subsistence fish, like from Port Hyden all the way up to Lake Eliamna, please enter the photo contest with any pictures regarding commercial fishing or just salmon in some way. So a couple categories that we have, that just to give people kind of a taste of what we're looking for, is Bristol Bay sockeye, of course. We always love pictures of fish, bright fish, schools of fish underwater, fillets, close-ups, smoked fish, anything that's like sockeye-centric and focused on that. We also really like to get photos of people and portraits of the hardworking men and women, the fisheries and the communities around here, and preferably holding or posing with beautiful sockeye salmon. Last year, we got a lot of really great submissions of people holding salmon, but they all were king salmon. And, you know, it's kind of hard to brand Bristol Bay sockeye salmon on a portrait of someone holding up a king salmon. So what we're really looking for this year with portraits is people holding sockeye. That really connects with our market and the consumers when they see our fishermen or people holding sockeye. Community, and so that's just fishermen with others. I know this year it's a little bit difficult because COVID's going on. Like, I think as fishermen, we're so used to, you know, having our boatyard get-togethers or our beach bonfires, but, you know, for these community photos, we're pretty much looking for anything like boat life, beach life, indigenous life, cannery life, just showing us some sense of the community that we have here in Bristol Bay. The fourth one that we have is landscape and nature. Of course, all those Bristol Bay sunrises and sunsets that we come to love so much. Mountains down in Ugaliship, the bluffs all over the place. We love to get some scenery pictures as well to include. And then the last one is action. So action shots can be anything from hanging nets to tying up, picking fish, throwing buoys, fishing the line. We know that fishermen and people here are always moving and working, and something's always going on, and so that's the last category is action.
That sounds great. Cool. Is there anything else that people should know about the contest, or, you know, are there prizes, anything like that?
Yes, there are. So within the five categories, we will choose five photos, five winning photos from each category, and they'll each receive $100 in cash, and then the first photo in each category will win $250. Then the overall photo that wins the whole contest is going to receive $500, and these are going to be, this contest is going to be open until October 1st of this year. It's open right now. If people have internet and want to start submitting, they can go for it. But it's open until then, and then we're going to announce all the winners kind of around Pacific Marine Expo time is traditionally how we've done it, and then we'll have things on our social media sites and our website announcing that and where people can see all the winning photos.
Well, good luck to you this season.
Yep, have a good one, Aziz.
Just a reminder, the BBRSDA photo contest is open for submissions right now until October 1st. The months leading up to this fishing season were complicated. Tribes and other municipal entities had extensive discussions about how to minimize health risks to their communities during the COVID-19 pandemic, including requests to close the fishery. Denali Hodgden is from South Naknek and Anvik. In the first of a two-part interview, KDLG's Tyler Thompson talked to Hodgden about their connection to the region and their decision not to fish this summer.
To start us out, just by introducing yourself.
Okay. Well, Adet Denali Hodgson to Ezra, Melinda Chasingong, David Hodgson to Tote, Gither Nacheg, South Naknek, Yeth Histon, Fairbanks Listow. Hello, everybody. My name is Denali Hodgson. I am Sopyak and Degatan Athabascan from the villages of South Naknek and Anvik on the Yukon River. And I am the creator and host of On the Land podcast, a podcast and media organization designed to center the voices of Indigenous people.
Thank you so much for joining us, Denali. I appreciate taking some time to talk with us. If you could just start us off, we'll talk a little bit about your experiences fishing in Bristol Bay, a little bit about yourself, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so like I said, I'm originally from South Naknek on my father's side. So I'm a Hodgdon related to the Anseganox and the Zimmons over in the Naknek side. I grew up going back home mostly in the summer when my father was still around. He passed away about 5 years ago. It will be 6 years this December. And it is a place that I, you know, call home, that I have been intimately attached to, even though I have grown up also partially in town, in the city, in Fairbanks. And so my summer is spent back home where they were what I looked forward to during the winter, to be able to be home, walk the beaches, put away fish, and have family time, have the time that we all get to participate in when the salmon are running and everybody has to hit the net and hit the beach in order to pull fish in for winter. And then, you know, I grew up doing mostly subsistence work, but I think the first time I did some commercial fishing on a set net site was when I was 11, and then again when I was 15, and I was able to set net with my cousins down on the south side of Naknek, and that was where I just knew that I was going to be a commercial fisherwoman for the rest of my life. It was a beautiful time. My family has about 3 sites that they fish, and I no longer fish with them, but it was what got me first exposed to commercial set netting. And there's nothing like going and delivering your first bit of catch. So that's kind of how I first got introduced to it. And most recently, I've been fishing out of the Nooshigak. I graduated from high school in 2014, and post-graduation, I was able to gain a job in Denali National Park, working as a cultural interpreter, which gave me a profound amount of skills, but it also wasn't home. It wasn't the place that I necessarily wanted to be. My heart was always calling me back to the water, back to the ocean, back to the bay. So each season I would try to find a way to get back home in order to do any kind of fishing, whether that was just subsistence fishing, which I was able to go back throughout the summers and, you know, have a week here or 4 days there in order to put away fish with my aunts and uncles and with my mom. But it wasn't that chunk of time that I wanted to be out there, because I knew ultimately I wanted to be commercial fishing. And so I almost quit my first season as a rookie raft guide in Denali National Park in order to come out fishing in the bay. That was the year that we had an enormous amount of catch that really spurred off these last few record years. and so that was really hard to sit on the sidelines while that season was going on. But I also had an obligation to finish my rookie year as a raft guide. But through that experience, I was able to get connected to my first commercial fishing boat out of the Nooshigak and hopped on to crew for them in the next summer of 2018. And then crewed last year as well out in the Nooshigak, and this year decided to stay back in a variety of ways due to coronavirus and what it means to be back in the Bay as somebody that is, you know, from the region, but is also lives away from the region during the winter time as of right now.
How hard was it to come to that decision to stand down this year? And of course, if you'd like to elaborate more on why you stood down for fishing this year.
You know, it was a hard decision, mostly because it's been such a hard journey to make it home to fish. I decided to stand down for a variety of reasons. I think at the forefront, with the podcast, I had a cousin that ended up calling me up and saying, hey, I think you need to talk to my other cousin because we just don't know what to do with this whole coronavirus thing and the implications of what it means to possibly be facing another global pandemic in the Bay. Our families already remember, and we have the intergenerational memory of the 1918-1919 Spanish flu epidemic that made its way into the Bay, in a large part due to the commercial fishing industry. And that orphaned an entire generation, you know, the generation around my grandparents, my great-grandparents' era. And so, you know, holding that intergenerational memory and understanding that our villages are still disproportionately impacted by the lack of, you know, medical care that the rest of the United States has much easier access to was a very, that was at the forefront of my mind. And so after that conversation with my cousin where we were discussing, you know, the Spanish flu epidemic and its repercussions, and then speaking to, you know, well, what happens to the markets as well when we're under a global pandemic? You know, is it even smart to be going out financially this season? Were a few things that I was holding close. I really waited until I heard from our tribes, the tribes in the area, about what they wanted to do and how they wanted to move forward with the coronavirus. So I also waited until there was a, you know, an announcement that was made before I made a decision personally about whether or not I was going to be going out. And ultimately, you know, a lot of our tribes asked that people did not go back to Bristol Bay to fish this year. You know, the fish return every year and we have the opportunity for the most part to continue to fish in Bristol Bay. But what happens when we lose our elders and we lose an entire generation of knowledge? That is not something that comes back with the season. That's something that is, when it's gone, it's gone. And what most people don't realize, especially out of Alaska, is that we are very young in our statehood. We are very young in our colonization. We still remember and have a lot of that old knowledge around to a certain degree, and yet we also still have to be maintaining it and really pushing to keep it alive during a time where we continue to hear that our life ways do not matter, whether that is from state mandates that say, hey, you know, commercial fishing right now is a mandatory operation, and people need to continue to go out there in order to keep these markets alive. I guess I'll stop there.
Thank you for sharing that.
We'll have the second half of that interview tomorrow. Denali Hodgson also works with 2 Minutes a Day in the Bay, a project in concert with Fishermen in Solidarity for Bristol Bay that is working to amplify the voices of Native communities and the impact of COVID-19 on the region. If you have thoughts about what the discussion is like in your community, feel free to call 360-559-1532 or email tyler@kdlg.org.
Don't know why. There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
It's Weather Wednesday with Rick Toman. Rick is a climate specialist at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. This week, we take a look at the hot and steamy July 4th and a few storms coming up.
Last week, you said that climate models weren't able to really tell what to expect. And we kind of got a little bit of everything over the past couple days. What are you looking at in the next couple days and weeks?
Yeah, so it's been quite an interesting week across the region. 4th of July, especially, very warm. Temperatures got up to 78 degrees at both Pilot Point and Port Hyden, 72 at Igigik. So very warm weather, but then also some clouds and rain. And that's actually not that uncommon for one particular weather model to have one forecast and a different weather model have something very different, and reality is something in between, and that's actually a tool that forecasters can use. Now, the timing, of course, is really the big bugaboo there, the hard part. So it's not too surprising to see we got a little bit of both options. Coming up here for the upcoming week, we have better agreement in the weather models for the rest of this week and into the weekend. Looks generally dry, will be breezy at times, but nothing unusual out on the water. As we go through the weekend and into early next week, the chances for storminess do increase, but at this point doesn't look to be anything out of the ordinary for middle of July.
Looking at the rest of the month, are there any long-term trends in the weather or in the forecast that you all are looking at that are sticking out to you, or is it really just slightly warmer than normal July?
So at this point, certainly looks like the tilt through the middle of the month and into later in the month favors warmer than normal weather. Precipitation, storminess, if anything, maybe tilts towards above normal precipitation. But that could just be that there's a couple of storms that brings a significant amount of rain. Doesn't necessarily mean there would be more storminess or prolonged wet weather. That's one of the problems with climate forecasts is we tend to lump a bunch of time together, a week or 2 weeks, and don't really say anything about how that's distributed through there. With temperatures, that's less of a problem than precipitation because of one storm, of course, can bring you more than a week's worth of normal rain. So it gets a little trickier to use. But at this point, probably the thing that we have the highest confidence is mild temperatures, less confidence on how stormy it would be, say, for the third and fourth week of July.
Mm-hmm. In terms of ocean surface temperature, are we looking at slightly above normal, but again, relatively steady throughout the rest of this month?
Yeah, ocean temperatures should continue to be generally a little bit above normal, farthest above normal right in upper Bristol Bay. There remains that area, kind of outer Bristol Bay, that temperatures on the ocean surface are close to normal. Most of the Pacific on the south side of the Alaska Peninsula, though, is warmer than normal. Of course, temperatures don't vary so much in that deeper water. So they're not a lot above normal, but a large area west of Kodiak Island is a bit warmer than normal.
I know this is a very basic question, but why are ocean surface temperatures a little bit above normal this year? Is that just a long-term trend in a warming ocean, or does that have really direct causes?
So some of it is the long-term trend in ocean temperatures, which across the Bering Sea and North Pacific are up. The Bering Sea in particular has been mostly warmer than normal since 2014. And by warmer than normal, we mean longer than, say, a several decade average. So that's very much part of that long-term trend. Not quite so dramatic on the Pacific side of the Alaska Peninsula, but the trend is up there as well. In the summertime, an important factor in what the ocean surface temperatures are how much storminess there is, how much sunshine there is. If like in 2019, when there's a real lack of storms and lots of sunshine, that the upper, the very most top of the ocean can warm up and it doesn't mix down with that cooler water below, and we heard reports of that last year. This year, with more storminess, not anything out of the ordinary, but certainly much more than last year, we're seeing a little bit more mixing, especially on the in the Bering Sea and in Bristol Bay.
Got it. Thanks so much for taking a few minutes to break down what we're looking at in the next couple of weeks and what we saw this past week with those slightly conflicting weather forecasts.
You bet. Happy to help, Izzy.
Support for KDLG's fisheries coverage comes from OBI Seafoods, proud to partner with the fishermen and communities of Bristol Bay.
Guess who's back, back again, again.
Fish. That's all for the info, folks. We've got some messages to the fleet, the marine weather forecast, and a song to lull you to sleep. Or start out your day. The fish sleep for no one. First message to the fleet is a message for the captain of the Wrangler in Nooshogak Bay. We are thinking of you and hoping you are being very careful and staying safe. We all love you, Marge. To Captain Brent Cathy on the fishing vessel Independence, Amazon delivered your Uggs today. I put them in the closet next to your bunny slippers and Crocs. Found some unicorn pajamas. Hope a onesie is okay. Your brother says hi. Most of my love, Montana chick. Hello to the fishing vessel Force 5-1 in Naknek, sending love from home, mom, and dad. In the marine weather forecast tonight, in Bristol Bay, a west wind at 20 knots, seas at 6 feet, and patchy fog. Tomorrow, a northwest wind at 20 knots, seas at 6 feet, and patchy fog. From Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, tonight, a northwest wind of 20 knots, seas at 5 feet, and patchy fog. And tomorrow, a northwest wind of 20 knots, seas at 5 feet, and patchy fog. In the tides at the mouth of the Nooshogak River, the next tide is a low at 12:55 a.m. That will be a low of 0.49 feet. The next high tide there will be at 7:29 a.m. at a high of 21.57 feet. At the mouth of the Naknek River, the next tide is a low tide at 1:22 a.m. at a low of negative 0.55 feet. The next high is at 7:34 a.m. at a high of 24.32 feet. And down in Igigik, the next tide is a low at 11:43 p.m. at a low of negative 0.62 feet. And the next high tide will be tomorrow morning at 6:23 a.m. at a high of 19.12 feet. Although the joy is in the journey, not the destination, we have reached the end of our show tonight. If you want to get in touch with the news team, you can reach out anytime, call 842-2200 or email fish@kdlg.org. And if you want to donate to support the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report or KDLG, you can call us at 907-842-5281 or donate on our website anytime at kdlg.org. Good night, good fishing, and I'll see you back here tomorrow. Here's 911 by Grip.
Call 911, cause we killing them. Call 911, cause we killing them. Call 911, call 911, call 911, cause we killing them.
Okay, I'm killing this shit, I need a round of applause. If it's money to be made, then I'm down for the cause. Take a penny, then I stretch it to a million. Rich stepping in the building. Came from the bottom with dreams to the top. Humble beginners, now I'm the cream of the crop. A fiend for the green, looking mean in the drop. Pull up game strong, make a scene on the block. Now you seen what I got. Bleed no scheming or I'm cleaning your clock. No nothing intervene with the guac. Stop, I'm thumbing through the bills like a cashier. A lot of shit done changed since last year. X blowing up my line with that shit dead. Sending texts to my phone, hey big head. A young ballin', fizz head. It's blue flame, but I'm finna pay this bread. Okay, I'm killing this shit, I need a round of applause. If it's money to be made, then I'm down for the cost. Take a penny, then I scratch it to a million. Rich stepping in the building.
Call 911, cause we killing them. Call 911, cause we killing them. Call 911, call 911, call 911, cause we killing them. Call 911, cause we killing them. Call 911, cause we killing them. Call 911, call 911, call 911, cause we killing them.
Okay, yeah, at your mama crib, platform.
Had to get it how you live, clap for him. Blood check like that, clap for him. You gon' get it right back, clap for him. Okay, I used to live with roaches in the crib. Always knew I'm supposed to do it big. Do it for the ones that's closest to my rip. The 9 to 5 and posting at the gig. I need big bread. Get it how you live, homie. Straight gang, nail splitting the wig for me. Nowadays, bad got dibs on me. And we ain't never been friends if you been phony. And I gotta keep a lid on the drama. Keep the whip with the llama. Get a crib for my mama. You boys hustling backwards. The fame nigga going, get the back first. Okay, I'm killing this shit. I need a round of applause. If it's money to be made, then I'm down for the cost. Take a penny, then I scratch it to a million. Rich stepping in the building. Okay, yeah, out your mama crib, clap for him. Had to get it how you live, clap for him. Blood check like that, clap for him. You gon' get it right back, clap for him.